Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? It's me, Sean O'Connor from the Your Two Dads podcast. That's right, it's Sean O'Conn's, a.k.a. The O'Conn Man, a.k.a. Nugget. What up, Nugget Nation? I'm here to talk to you about ShipStation. When you're selling online, getting your orders out can be a real pain. Where's the pain? I don't know. Up to you. It's time-consuming, expensive. So many carriers to choose from. How do you know you're making the best choice? That's why you need ShipStation.com. Listen, I live in LA, and when you live in LA, you gotta hustle. And I have many jobs, but one of my favorite jobs that I do is I go around to, like, restaurants in hip areas, see if there's any celebrities eating, and then I steal their partially eaten food, and then I sell it on eBay. And ShipStation is helping me out with that. It helps you get your orders out quickly, you save money on shipping costs, and keep your customers happy. You need your customers happy when you're selling a piece of sourdough toast that Harry Styles nibbled on. No matter where you're selling, Amazon, Etsy, your own website, eBay, again, I'm selling partially eaten food by celebrities. ShipStation brings all your orders into one simple interface, making them really easy to manage from any device, even your cell phone. ShipStation works with all the major carriers, including USPS, FedEx, UPS, even Amazon Fulfillment, so you can compare and choose the best shipping solution for you and your customer. And when you have a customer fan base like mine, where they're just buying partially eaten food, you need to find the best shipping solution. I'll say it right now. I love shipping with ShipStation. No wonder ShipStation is the number one choice of online sellers. You'll ship more in less time with the best rates available. And right now, Your Two Dads listeners can try ShipStation free for 60 days when you use offer code 2DADS. That's TWODADS. There's absolutely no risk. You can start your free trial without even entering your credit card info. Just visit ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in 2DADS, TWODADS. That's ShipStation.com, then enter offer code 2DADS. ShipStation.com, make ship happen.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hello and welcome to Your Two Dads. I'm one dad, Sean O'Connor. With me, as always, is Julian McCullough, except he's not with me right now. I don't know even what he's doing or why he's not here. I hope he's okay. If you're listening right now, Julian, text message me. Tell me you're all right. It feels like we're feuding or something right now when you're not here. But in this episode, in the interview, I should tell you, I'm only here for the first part. And that's because I had to go back to work. I have been working so much lately. I've been working like 16 to 17 hour days trying to create a late night show. It debuted this week. It's called A Little Late with Lily Singh. It's been really fun, really exciting. I feel like a dad while I'm there because I have a whole writing staff that looks up to me. I don't know if they actually look up to me, but they definitely ask me a lot of questions and see if they're doing stuff right. And I'm the kind of dad who goes, "It's perfect." And then the world will be like, "That wasn't perfect." But that's the beauty about being a dad, is you can just lie to kids. It's very awkward to be here alone. I don't know what to do. How am I dadding, you ask? Well, I'm going to ask you how you dadding. So please stop whatever you're doing. If you're in your car, just slam on the brakes and just yell out how you dadding. Oh, yeah. Man, how am I dadding? Oh, it's been interesting. I've been working like 17-hour days, and so I haven't really even seen my child unless it's on the weekend. And he's like fully grown up without me. They're watching. Like, he just weighs more. He keeps saying the word cock. He means clock, but he just keeps saying it. And I keep going like, "clock." And then he goes, "cock." And it's like a filthy Abbott and Costello routine. It's pretty great. But I've never done one of these intros alone, so this is awkward as hell. How are you doing, Coach T?
I'm doing well, man.
Oh, man, Coach T's doing good. You know what? I'll give out a dad of the week. Ooh, who is our dad of the week this week? Let me just put it in. The dad of the week this week is a dad named Chris Crutchley, who's unable to eat chocolate now, making 1 million pounds from brand he created in his kitchen. So this is a dad who is a chocolate millionaire, and he can't eat chocolate anymore. And I'm giving him, that sounds weird, right? It sounds like I just Googled dad and then put in the 24-hour filter. And that is what I did, but this was the third result. The other two were about Kim Kardashian's letter to Robert Kardashian and then a dad and rape. That guy doesn't seem like he's the number one dad. So I'm going to give it to the chocolate dad. He basically, he made his fortune with chocolate, and then he had to give up eating chocolate because it was too unhealthy. And if there's anything more dad than giving something up, I don't know what it is. That's what I like about dads, the sacrifices they make. Am I doing verbal gymnastics right now? You bet your sweet ass I am. Am I talking like Robert Evans and the kid stays in the picture? Oh, you're goddamn right. But here's the thing. I don't know how to do this alone. So Chocolate Dad, you're the dad of the week. The good news is we're going to start the show, and we have a great guest this week. You may have seen him on Insecure. He's actually just become a new cast member on Bless This Mess on ABC. He's a hilarious stand-up comic. And honestly, I think he has one of the best speaking voices. Because like after sitting down with him, I was like, man, I want to do an impression of him. But then I don't know how to do impressions, so I couldn't. So please give a warm welcome, a warm Your Two Dads welcome to Langston Kerman. Have you ever wondered where your family comes from? Well, I'm Sean O'Connor, and I'm here to say I'm pretty sure my family comes from Ireland. But this is what's so great. Like, we think that I'm 100% Irish, but with Ancestry.com, I could find out that I'm probably only like 71% Irish. And that way, I will ruin my mom's entire living room. If you go into my mom's living room, it is all shamrocks, and Ancestry.com can ruin that. I love that idea. That's why I'm using Ancestry DNA. Ancestry DNA gives you so much more than just the places you're from. Ancestry connects you to the places in the world where your story started, using precise geographic detail and clear-cut historical insights. You can find out that your great-grandfather was a sea captain, and you can find out that your great-grandmother was a mermaid. I don't know if that's true about you, but it's definitely true about me. You can even trace your ancestors' journeys over time, following how and why your family moved from place to place. I'm assuming it was because of potatoes. And to amplify your results, you can start a free trial on Ancestry and build a tree so your ancestors become more than just a name. So this is what's kind of exciting. I use Ancestry. I found out that I'm like 12 cousins removed from Sinead O'Connor. My name's Sean O'Connor. It kind of makes sense. The Irish were very like tribal people. But finding out for certain that like somewhere around like the 1500s, if we were both born at the same time, we are direct cousins. That's exhilarating to me. She sings my favorite song, Nothing Compares to You, and now she's my cousin 400 times removed. And I can now go up to Sinead O'Connor and be like, my name's Sean O'Connor, we're related. And then she's like, how? And I'm like, it's really complicated, but let me just pull up my Ancestry.com account, and then bam, and then we're best friends forever because we're cousins. So go to Ancestry.com/podcast today for 20% off your Ancestry DNA kit. That's Ancestry.com/podcast for 20% off your Ancestry DNA kit. Ancestry.com/podcast.
What's the premise of what Bless This Mess?
Two people move from New York City to like middle of nowhere, Nebraska, and basically take over a dead lady's farm.
Okay.
And I play Pam Grier's son on the show
who
happens to live in that town and like is a part of this new community for these two transient people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's super cool to play Pam Grier's son.
Yeah, she's dope. Yeah. She's a nice lady.
I mean, just such a legend.
I know.
Yeah. Like,
She's disgusting. She talks about a lot of disgusting things.
Really?
In a way that's endearing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she started in like the Grindhouse era, like of just like being like busty women fighting crime. Like,
yeah,
that was like exploitation stuff.
Every single movie, like
She was the first black superhero almost. Yeah, for us, you know, at least.
And now
like
you're her son.
Now I'm her son. Now I bring shame to this family.
What was the first experience you had with her that was like, whoa, I was not expecting her to say something like that?
So immediately she sort of has been going into this character of like treating me like I'm her actual son.
Okay.
And so like literally upon meeting her, she was like, ah, my son, 54 hours of birth. I had to get that big head in between my legs and get it out of there. And it's like, oh, hi, my name's Langston. Hey, hey, good to meet you. Pam Grier, big fan of your work.
She's like, work, you mean labor?
Right. It's just this very weird thing of like, you're in character, but I don't know you well enough to be playing in that yet.
And she's like Daniel Day-Lewis on a NBC sitcom.
Much more minor thing. ABC.
ABC, I'm so sorry. Don't worry.
Represent the Disney Corporation, I think. I don't know how that works anymore.
Is that do you get access to all the Disney stuff now? Like, can you go to Disneyland for free and stuff?
No, fuck no.
No?
I'm a regular, but I'm real low on that regular.
Oh, yeah.
They're not doing that for me.
Oh, man.
I'm sure if I created the show and had a little more power, they'd be more interested in that. But no.
So if you went to Disneyland and you were like, I'm on Bless This Mess, they'd be like, cool, $180, please.
Exactly. You're like, dope, man. Good luck. Hope those 13 episodes work out for you. Yeah.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from Chicago. Well, I'm from Oak Park, Illinois, which is a quaint suburb right outside of Chicago.
Yeah, is that where McDonald's like headquarters is?
No, that's Oak Brook. But yeah, it's close. So Oak Brook is like a further out suburb. Oak Park is literally the first suburb on the west side. So we are adjacent to Austin, which is, you know, infamous as like a bad neighborhood in Chicago. And then Oak Park is where like the Frank Lloyd Wright houses are.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
It's like a very like opposite of whatever like that.
Do you own any of those?
I own many. He is not happy about it.
Have you ever been in one? They're short. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
I saw one in person, and he builds everything low.
Yeah,
and it's like strange.
You're like for little people?
I don't know if it's a design. Yeah, that's what it feels like.
He was a game changer. Yeah, really. No, I honestly, because they do tours of them all around like my town, I guess, and I've always made a point of not wanting to go because my dad's wife was really into it, and I hate her. So all right, you like that shit? It's whack. I fucking hate it. I'm never going anywhere near it. I don't trust this motherfucker Frank Lloyd Wright.
I heard he's making houses for little people.
Yeah, he's making houses for the small, and I like the small people, but not the way he does it.
You don't have kids, right?
I do not have kids.
Do
I don't know why
you
guys wanted me here.
Huh? We want you here because we haven't had like a young person that doesn't have kids yet, and you know, this is great.
That's interesting to us.
Cool.
What's it like to not have kids? I don't remember.
I'd like kids.
Do you think about it ever?
A lot, actually.
Yeah.
I'm getting married in 2 weeks.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To Pam Grier.
To Pam Grier. It's going to be a weird incestual thing, but we'll make it work. I'm getting married in 2 weeks, and we're pretty excited about it. My girl in particular is like a big, let's do it immediately.
Kids.
Thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm into that.
It's good. Someone should have a strong opinion about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like, I mean, when you're both like, who cares? Bringing someone into the world is not the best thing, but I feel like that is more like my wife and I had like one conversation. We just talked about this like last week. We had one conversation where we were like, do you want to have kids? You want to have kids? And we were both like, yeah. And then we were like, let's try. And then she was pregnant like 2 weeks later.
Holy shit.
And then in my head now, I'm like, damn, it's just so easy to have kids. It really is. If you worked really hard.
Why are all these people struggling with this? Doctors? You don't need doctors.
No, you just, you know, have sex one time.
You have a short conversation. You bone once.
As a, as a dude.
Okay.
I can see, like, it's hard for me to believe that a woman is like, because a lot of them are very psyched.
Yeah.
To have kids. But the process of getting, of being pregnant and giving birth is so scary
it's
to
terrifying.
Me intellectually yeah. that like I just can't imagine being like, yes, let's do it. Right. I'd be like, I think I want to do this, but I'm so scared.
Yeah. You know? I couldn't imagine even the idea of like having to transform my body for work. Is yeah. daunting.
Yeah.
To like, lose 5 pounds. You're yeah, like, oh, I don't know, man.
How could I ever? But it's been the same this whole time.
But that's a good point, though, because you got to think, like, when Christian Bale and his wife talked about having yeah. kids, he was like, do you know what I do to my body for this family?
Do you know what I do to my body that I didn't have to do because prosthetics could have done it for me?
Yeah.
But I chose to do it anyway. Because so, I yelled at that man, and this is the way that I make up for it.
That's cool. That is, it's so brave though to just be like, "Let's do it! I can't wait."
Yeah, it's no, nuts. I'm not fighting it at all. I think it's exciting. I used to be a high school teacher.
Oh wow!
And I think that has, in a lot of ways, sort of prepared me for the idea of like what it means to be around kids.
Because you've seen them at their worst.
I've seen them at their worst.
So is high school the worst? Do you think?
I do not. I think that middle school is the absolute
worst. That's what I was going to think.
Yeah. Humans are like in our development, you know, obviously the terrible twos is a terrible stage, but there's still a very cute, endearing part.
It's an innocent terrible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like you even at your most malicious, you still can't hurt me.
Right.
You
yeah.
know what I mean? So it's you're harmless to yeah. a certain extent. But then middle school is when you actually have real potential to do damage in the world.
And want to.
And your brain has built a real reasoning to it yeah. for you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's fucking nuts.
So you define that as like 6th through 8th?
Yes.
Grade?
Yeah.
Because that is like the prime time where I remember like a school in my town where like kids were getting like stabbed with like protractors.
Wait, like this was a real breakout?
It was
like
a break. There was a Catholic school, St. Anne's, that I went there, and then there was a public school, Bulger, and at Bulger they had 3 kids stabbed with protractors.
Holy shit.
By 3 different kids. Because like 6th through 8th grade, like everyone's like this little raging sociopath because yeah. they don't know right from wrong.
Yeah.
And like you're getting picked on because yeah. like everyone's insecure and people were just getting stabbed with protractors.
Holy shit. Did anybody, were we talking like real stabbings?
Like in the like arm and stuff. No one died or anything.
Like but hospital visits.
Yeah, hospital like, visits. Like, shit. Yeah, protractors, it's a protractor, plenty. Right? Or is it?
Yeah,
it's
no,
a protractor.
Yeah. It has a little metal. I mean, it's like yeah. a dart. Yeah.
It's basically. Insane that for years we had full ass metal protractors. Because yeah. now they do plastic ones and they yeah. like dull the tip.
Yeah, because you don't need it to be a point.
No.
Like
no.
a sharp metal
you're
point.
You're not Frank Lloyd Wright. Yeah.
Just coming home with a briefcase. Yeah, yeah, yeah. these
Frank
buildings aren't adding up.
Frank Lloyd Wright
drawing a fucking circle.
Frank Lloyd Wright had a sling blade protractor that he would go. He was terrifying.
You're in the wrong side of town. Yeah.
I'm about to design your shit.
No, it's yeah. They were fucking. They were basically ice picks.
Yeah,
like you have like an ice pick this big that you could just murder someone.
It's crazy. You know, if you tried to like get on a plane with a protractor, that is getting confiscated.
Oh, absolutely.
No possible way.
And like you're giving them to 7th graders for yeah. to draw circles.
And they wouldn't even let me get on a plane with a gun.
How unreasonable is that?
It's not even pointy. What age were you? What grade were you and subject were you teaching?
I taught 9th, 11th, and 12th grade English. And I did it for 3 years full time. And then I taught basically another like 3 or 4 years in like various versions of part-time work, like doing after school programming or like tutoring and educational support.
Did you do that because you were transitioning into comedy or because?
Yeah, I mean, as by the time I started teaching, I was already doing comedy, but teaching, you know, for at least at first felt like a pretty reasonable option for being able to like make a living and also be out at night.
That should just teach everyone, though, like how little you make in comedy is that you have to teach.
If teaching is where the money is coming from.
Yeah, I got a teaching job and really rubbed my hands together.
There's a lot of prep. There's a lot of prep. And
well, that was
that's the thing.
I think that was the thing that sort of made me need to step away from it.
Yeah.
Was like I realized pretty quickly into it that like
it's not like UPS driver where you just show up and start your shift.
I'm shortchanging these kids in a way that like I can't justify, and I liked it. I love the kids, I love the work itself, but like when you have to grade essays and then plan, you know, 4 different lessons the next day, and you also have to do 2 sets, somebody's missing out, and I got dreams, so
what am I doing? You're like, this comedy bit's coming along, but it's not like ruin their lives good.
Yeah, exactly.
did you teach in Chicago?
I taught a year in Chicago, and then I taught 2 years in Boston, and then like all the part-time work was in New York.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What's your takeaway about teenagers, like from that experience? Are they, because I think most adults who don't have experience with teenagers are afraid of them.
They are terrifying people.
Yeah.
I'd be lying if I said every, you know, the first week of school is like prison. As far as I'm concerned.
You just got to show your dominance.
Yeah, you sort of pick out the biggest one and you make a scene and like you do the...
Really?
Yeah, like there were, especially with the...
I don't mean physically. You don't mean physically.
No,
like, yeah.
I never...
You kick the shit out of
teenager.
You hold a protractor to their neck until everybody's learned their lesson.
I just want our listeners to know that you're not doing...
You don't hit the kids, but... I definitely had to assert my dominance with like the people who were sort of like the alphas of those rooms,
right?
And especially in my case, when I started, I think I was 23 years old.
Oh my god!
So 22 maybe. So
yeah,
it was,
so you're like 4 years removed from being that kid,
exactly.
Like,
and like they know that?
Oh, they do.
They
know
don't know how old you are, but they know you're not the same as the counterparts. Right, they know you're not as old as
like
the 45 year old,
whatever,
exactly. And so there's a part of them that's like, nah, like you're like us. You're not what they are, so therefore we're the same, and I'm going to treat you as such. And you have to remind them very quickly, like, nah, I don't like y'all.
What can you do? I mean, I don't know how much disciplinary action you can like exert.
A lot. I mean,
you can hit them, right?
You gotta hit them. No, a lot of it is social equity, right? Mm-hmm. Like the more that you can sort of demonstrate that you have the power to embarrass them, the more they are compliant with the things that you.
So humiliation tactics.
Humiliation is everything.
I mean, that actually perfectly makes sense because as a teenager, like every moment is kind of humiliating.
Yes, mm-hmm.
And I very much remember like the times I was like dressed down by a teacher. And just being like, oh fuck!
Yeah, yeah.
All right, you have the power now.
Yeah,
because I remember being like, I'm in charge.
Yes,
like I could look at a teacher and like make them feel small.
Uh-huh.
And then once that power went to them, I was. It was like cutting my dick off.
Yeah. Right. Mulaney has that really funny bit where he like walk past those eighth graders and they're like, he's got girly hips or something like that. He's like, no, that's the thing I'm most embarrassed about. It's like they have that.
Yeah.
They can zero in on that in part because they're constantly self-aware.
Yeah. They're
and like hating themselves.
Right.
So they know what you hate in you. And at the moment that you can sort of like you said, take back that energy, you now have the ability to teach them to
read.
Do
you remember a specific thing you did to a kid to like show them Like, I know it's asking a lot, but I just want to know how far you can go where you're not like over the line.
You can kind of, I've talked to Will Miles, who's also very
funny. He was on the show.
He also did comedy or did teaching, and we talked about it. But like, you can kind of say anything you want about them as long as you aren't crossing the line of something that they can't control. So like, like we talked about it, like you can't make fun of a poor kid for being poor,
right?
Because that's some mean shit that he can't control, his family, whatever. But you can totally make fun of him for being bummy just because he dressed poorly. You know what I mean? So it's like that level of like, if you make fun of me, I'm gonna make fun of you. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna win because I'm better at talking than you are.
Right.
You're a 12-year-old.
Also, I've been doing open mics for 6 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. So. Gotten pretty good at it.
Yeah. I'm definitely in the top three funniest people in this room right now.
Well, that part is the sad part when they make fun of you in a way that, like,
you know, is good.
It's like, damn, that was funny as hell.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I guess we're going to get back to Chaucer.
I'm not wearing this again.
You're right. This shirt is too big. I knew it when I put it on. God damn it. All right.
So do you have any experience with young kids? Like, you're going to have kids soon.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty obvious he's going to have kids soon.
Yeah. So, I mean, are you like...
We've already had the talk. 2 weeks from now, there's going to be a baby in there.
Are you are you a little more nervous about a young kid than you are older kids because of the experience thing? Or?
I think I'm scared of a brand new baby.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrifying
to
me.
It is. The first year I was not...
It gets... All right, so... When Julian had his daughter, like my wife just kept going, hold her. And I'm like, no. It's,
yeah, I remember it was hard to get Sean to hold my baby.
Yeah, it was like, because like in my
hard to get Sean to
I kept
hold
shoving her at him and he was like,
In my head, it's like a gummy worm, a trolley gummy worm that has bones that can break.
Yes.
They can't though.
No, I know.
Their bones are like butter.
Their bones are butter, which is also scary.
That's also terrifying.
Yeah, I know.
And like, but once you have your own kid, like, you realize kind of early on how easy it is to do all those things. And, like, that fear kind of goes away. I mean, there were a few times because their necks are just, all over the place that, like, maybe I gave them whiplash.
Yeah.
I remember Goldie fell off a couch one time when she was a baby. And I was, like, when she was in midair, I was, like, freaking out, right? Like, in the 1 second that it took her to fall.
Right.
And I was like, oh, and then she hit the ground, and the way her body reacted to it, I was like, oh, it's fine.
Yeah.
I was like, there's nothing that could have gone.
Oh, we can do this.
They're
some
like
more.
Built to fall off of things.
Yeah, I also always think, like, my friend Matt, right before I had a baby, he told me, like, the first time he held his son, he accidentally stuck his finger in the soft spot of his head, and nothing happened.
Yeah,
and
that's a myth.
Yeah, he was like,
there's no soft spot.
He's like, oh, this is going to be way easier than I thought.
They act like it's the reset button on an Apple computer, but it's fine.
No, I'm the oldest of five.
Oh, wow.
One of them.
So you have tons of experience with
little kids. Yeah, one of them is literally 23 years younger than I am. So I am not unfamiliar with like
what it means to... See, I didn't have any experience for like since I was a kid.
But well, even with you were dating children for a while.
even with that, though, there's like... when you're a sibling, you get like... 3 hours a day of responsibility tops.
Yeah.
Being a fucking parent means that you have to be constantly aware of whether or not this thing is breathing.
But it is a great training. I mean, 3 hours a day is great training for being an adult. I mean, Meg, my fiance, she was the oldest of three, or four total. But she was like ready to be a mom by the time she was, because it's like, you know, she like raised her sisters,
right?
You know,
yeah. No, I definitely feel like I got some good baby experience,
but
I'm terrified.
There's nothing more. There's nothing scarier because like everything that you like put your baby in has like these like weird warnings on it about like SIDS and like it became like a weird obsession of mine of like reading just to make sure this didn't happen. And, and my wife was like, why do you care? Like,
there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do about it. And I'm like, no, there is, because there's a warning on the crib. So that I know if I
that
have
baby
a
cat. Swing might be the secret. I might have figured it out. Yeah. Call science.
Yeah. Once I find out that there's no like way to do anything about it, I'm like, I do whatever I can to put it out of my head, because yeah. I will go crazy if I think like I have something to do with it.
Oh, see, I think I'm much closer to Sean on that.
You'd be obsessed with it.
I think I'll constantly be thinking.
I don't
want to
read 70 articles about a kid that died in his crib. I mean,
no,
it's like,
neither do I. But brain won't allow me to yeah. do it.
Yeah, no, like you're fighting with yourself. You're yeah. like, I don't want to read this, but at the yeah. same time, your brain's like, but it's out there and it has all the information that you could possibly put into me. Yeah. I need to know that information. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, brain, yeah. and let's do it.
And then your dick is like, so we're just not going to jerk off today.
No, we'll find time. We'll find time. Don't worry.
All right, we'll be right back with more Your Two Dads.
Hello, this is Sean O'Connor, aka Sean O'Cons, aka Nugget, aka Don Juan DeMarco, and I'm here to talk to you about BetterHelp. Listen, guys, it's hard to be happy. I mean, I know this. That's why I'm so heavily medicated. But also this year, I started therapy, and it has helped me smile more. And I wish there was a way for BetterHelp. Well, guess what? I'm here to talk to you about a company called BetterHelp. BetterHelp is online counseling that's there for you. You don't have to go into like this weird studio and sit next to other depressed people anymore. You could do this from the comfort of your own home. You basically, what happens is you connect with a professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. It's so convenient. And like, here's what you do. You put in headphones so that way no one can hear that you're actually getting therapy. You could do this in a Starbucks if you want. And this is what's also great is like, there's so much like clock watching when you're at therapy. And this is like, you get help on your own time. It's like hard to do that most of the time because like you'll call up and they're like, I can only do Tuesday at 6 a.m. No, this is you get to pick your own time, and you get to do it at your own pace. You schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your therapist. I didn't even know my therapist's name for the first 3 months I went to therapy. Seriously, she caught me looking at her diploma, and I had to be like, oh, that's a good school you went to, Amanda. But here, like, you get to actually chat and text with your therapist, which is great, because, like, that's how we have my therapist and I have a strong boundary between us. And I would love to be able to text message her going like, hey, today sucks. Can you tell me that I'm being crazy or if the world's being crazy? But now you get to do this with BetterHelp. You have licensed professional counselors who are specialized in depression. Got it. Stress. Got it. Anxiety. Got it. Relationships. Have one. Sleeping. I'm not good at it. Trauma. I maybe have that. Anger. You know it. Family conflicts. Not really, but I do fight with my family about politics. LGBT matters. This does not apply to me yet. Grief. Who knows? And self-esteem. I don't have any. Best of all, it's a truly affordable option. Your Two Dads with Sean and Julian listeners get 10% off your first month with discount code 2DADS. So why not get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/2DADS. That's the number 2DADS. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor you'll love. That's betterhelp.com/2DADS. The number 2DADS. Betterhelp.com, because we all need a little help.
And we're back with Your Two Dads, but Sean's gone.
Sean's dead.
Yeah, we still got Langston Kerman, which is great, but Sean had to go to a job. And it's almost like he's a real dad because he left us to work.
Yeah, he did.
Now we know what it feels like.
To go figure ourselves
out. Now we can do whatever we want.
But we'll probably get in trouble when, you know, he comes back.
Yeah.
But he's not coming back.
He's not coming back. No, don't. And you know what? The more you tell yourself he is going to come back, the worse it's going
to
feel.
That's when it really starts to hurt.
It's like, you're the man of the house now, Langston.
I wasn't ready for this responsibility, but here we are.
So you grew up in outside Chicago.
Yeah.
Was like a blue collar, middle class, like
pretty
suburb?
Middle class suburb. Mm-hmm. Chicago is weird because it's literally the, in my opinion, I don't have statistical evidence of this, but I do think it's maybe the most segregated city in America.
I've heard that.
And I think
LA's pretty bad.
LA's bad, but there are sections of intermixing.
Yes.
There aren't many sections of intermixing.
Really? It's like that.
Everything is sort of the neighborhood as it was originally branded. Mm-hmm. So like literally my neighborhood is one of the weird sort of like mixed havens, but it's a suburb. And then like the first neighborhood into the city.
Your
is,
neighborhood's like an experiment for Chicago.
Exactly. It was an accident. Yeah. And like somehow it's been managing to work out. But like the first neighborhood in is all black, mm-hmm. and the next neighborhood after that is all Mexican, mm-hmm. and then the next neighborhood after that is all Puerto Rican, and then that eventually turns into like gentrifiers.
It sounds delicious, by the way. No matter where you stop.
And as long as you are welcomed in those communities, which most of you aren't, you know,
it actually explains why I think some people were looking back at some 80s movies, like the John Hughes movies, which are famously filmed around in the Chicago suburbs almost exclusively.
Right.
You know, for a while there, when we were becoming more progressive as a culture, we were looking back at movies and being like, Jesus, there's like no representation in a lot of these movies. And John Hughes got it real bad because there's literally no black people in any of the movies.
But he wasn't wrong.
But that's literally what he knew.
Yeah.
Honestly, you're telling me.
He was articulating what that actual experience was, which is like...
He wasn't removing black people.
I mean, sure, you could make that argument with like some of the Ferris Bueller moments where he does go into
Chicago,
city,
sure,
and then that starts to
but there's probably black people in those parts. I forget, but I don't know, maybe I don't remember any, but
I know there's a
I want to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Those parts. I'm not sure, but I do think that like for the most part,
like the suburban high school stuff,
he's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
He's telling you exactly what that white ass neighborhood was. So, you know, I'm not mad.
And those kids had problems.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, ill-fitting sweaters and whatnot, you know,
detention.
It was a struggle.
Detention.
So you went to an actual kind of mixed school.
Yeah. For the most part, I would say that my school was like 30% black, and then predominantly white.
Yeah, but that's a good mix anywhere, to be
honest. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at it.
Outside of Atlanta, I don't think there's any like 50-50s, you know?
Yeah, it's actually become blacker since I left,
mm-hmm.
Which obviously the locals aren't happy about, but I think...
I call it progress.
Sure. you're very brave in
did
that
you,
way.
What style dad was your dad? Was he strict? Was he...
No, my dad, I think my dad grew up with a much stricter dad,
mm-hmm.
and he subsequently
like military strict or
yeah, he was my grandfather was a army doctor.
Oh wow.
And like jumped out of airplanes and shit.
Oh my God.
So like he had that.
It's so hard to argue with those dads.
Yeah. But he was like he was more doctor than he was like an army dude, mm-hmm. but he was enough army dude that like my dad sort of, I think he had just a very like hard formed like dad, like one of those mm-hmm. like strict opinions, strict
routines
exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think my dad sort of did the opposite and isn't like much of a disciplinarian. Never really.
He's like a baby boomer rebeller, like
yeah,
a little
exactly.
bit.
He sort of pushed back on a lot of that stuff, and I think subsequently he picked up all the lack of communication that you get from a dad who's in the army.
On the emotional
rules.
Side.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's not a great communicator with like emotions, but he is a very like thoughtful dude in that mm-hmm. like he let me sort of be who I wanted to be, and like comedy never once even came up of being like, I don't think you should do that,
right?
Or like
that's cool,
that's not worth pursuing. He just was
you
like
know what's
okay
funny
yeah I guess
there's all these I remember at least when I started, but like there's when you say you're a comedian, people always and I don't know if they do this anymore because now I feel like in 2019 everybody's like follow your dream, right?
Yeah.
But even when I started like almost 20 years ago, people were like, what did your parents say? That was like a huge question back then. I feel like it's not even a question anymore.
Yeah, I don't think people get asked that the same way, but also the world is ending, so it kind of makes sense.
There's no real jobs anyway, so what if, you know?
It's like your dad drives for Lyft. Who is he to be like, oh, what are you doing with your life? You know what I mean?
This is, I mean, and my parents were also very much rebelled against like establishment or whatever. I said I was, oh, like, what do you got? Like, that's what they did.
Yeah, you know.
They were like day laborer people. Like, they would do anything. They would do odd jobs. They were wage workers their whole lives, but they would skip around and, you know. So when people were like, you know, how did your parents react? And I was like, I'm going to have the most stable job of anyone in my family. So they don't care about that.
Right. I think my dad was just excited that, like, I, in theory, was going to be able to live independent of like his
if it worked out,
the little bit of money he had, if I could manage to do it without him, he's fine.
That's great.
He doesn't give a shit.
What is there anything from his style that you're gonna try and like? Because no parent's perfect, and that doesn't mean you gotta like judge him for it. Yeah. But is there anything that you want to do a little bit differently than he did?
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff, I think.
Idealistically, I would like to be different. When it actually comes up, you're like, fuck it, I'll do it the same.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, we sort of touched in on it. I think my dad is a very kind person who struggles with any sort of like intensive emotional conversations.
Mm-hmm. Being emotionally present is really hard for
super hard
anyone really, but generations.
I recognize it in myself that also is a struggle for me, and it's been an active, and I think comedy sort of helps with that, where it's like you kind of are forced to dig into yourself in a way that like you didn't want to have to if you're looking for extra bits.
Yeah.
And so I think that I want to be able to create that kind of dialogue with my kid more actively, as opposed to when we sort of get cornered and turn into like animals and just have to talk. You know what I mean?
That's good. Be a little more proactive emotionally and be like, what's going on with you? It's okay to feel.
You'll see me cry. I'll see you cry. We'll do the thing.
That's where I think comedy. I understand your point. The initial thing of like mining yourself for material is important, and the best comics should be doing that. But here's the problem. I think a lot of times comedy, when in the process of making people laugh, and I can't believe I'm about to quote this, but I guess I am.
Uh-oh.
She talked about it in Nanette, whatever, where it's like you take the pain and then you make it palatable for everyone.
Right.
Right. And in that, that's the craft. And it does help people to laugh at stuff, and it's like important to reveal that. But in the process of making that kind of an armor that you can wield and like feel better about and like use in a room, you're like, I felt bad about this thing, but now that I'm telling you about it, I'm making it funny. I'm making it fun. There's a detachment that has to happen there. And I think as a comedian who became a dad, I had to deconstruct, what am I trying to say? I had to undo that detachment.
Sure.
I had to be like, I'm not allowed to detach from it. I need to stay in it.
Yeah.
And not give her the like defense mechanism version.
And to your point, I do think
it's really hard.
But I
me,
think
anyway.
That that's part of being a human, not just being a comic.
Sure.
Right? That like at the end of the day, I define myself mostly as a comedian, but I do think that there's still like emotional work that I have to do even beyond the things that I pretend to have made peace with. Most of the jokes that I've sort of written that dig into my emotional self is me projecting the idea of having made peace with something.
Sure.
I didn't actually make peace with this.
Yeah,
shit.
I'm still pissed.
I figured out a way to articulate this so that you guys can laugh at it and I can seem more confident than I actually am.
I had a long story about my mom's my mom remarried this fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
This fucking nightmare. This rural Tennessee biker dude.
Holy shit.
And I told a long story about that. In my act for a while, and I made it sound like I was cool with it, and I was at when that was like being on TV and shit, I was still absolutely not cool with it, you know.
No, I got three stepdads, I get it.
Oh yeah.
I'm 3D baby.
Fuck three mics with Neil Brennan. You should be three stepdads with
I just Claire. Talk into the back of a man I don't like's head. I do think that to your point, I think that that's part of the extra work, right? Like we get to do the bits, we get to do things to project the idea of confidence, but at the end of the day, we also have to come back and go, all right, but what do you actually feel? Like, right. Where are you in this space? And I think as a father, I imagine, I have no idea, but as a father, you also have to do that emotional work with your kid. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, yes, I am making fun of this thing. Yes, I am sort of projecting a confidence about this, but I also still am a person vulnerable to a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And I want to be able to share that with you too.
They need to see it.
Yeah, exactly.
They need to see it or they'll think they have to shut it down.
Right. Yeah, then they turn in.
And I wish I was doing a better job at it. Maybe I'm doing better than I think, but sure. it's tough, man. I still don't like it. Right. Still don't like sitting in a feeling and just like not moving on.
Yeah.
Like, it's tough, man.
I think the older I get too, though, I think part of it is just like there's no correct way to do most of these things.
Right.
That like you show
you're not going to get a grade.
No, you show the right amount of vulnerability and then they figure out what kind of vulnerability they are able to show. But mm-hmm. like you show too much and they're going to judge you for that. It's just part of the deal.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Don't ever think it. You'll go crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right.
It's like the thing with the soft spot that you were saying. Yeah.
It's just, we're if you don't believe in it, it's fine.
We're all just pressing the soft spot.
What up, world? It's me, the Sean Man from the Your Two Dads podcast. I don't know why I keep calling myself the Sean Man when the Ocon Man is a way better nickname. But hey, whatever. This is just something I'm stressing out about. I wish there was a better way for me to stress out or fix this stress. Well, guess what? There is. It's called Simple Habit. How hard is it to meditate? For me, it's incredibly hard. Every time I try to meditate, I close my eyes, I try to shut off the world, and then I keep saying to myself, who do I think I am meditating? So then I'm just talking to myself, making fun of myself. There is a better way. It's about time we make meditation a good habit. And that's why Simple Habit is the meditation app for you. I think we could all benefit from meditation. Like, it could put us at ease. Like, even like, you know, when you're stuck in traffic and the whole time you're just like looking at everyone going like, I wonder if I just drove my car into them, if they'd realize I'm having a bad day. Well, guess what? Think about that no more, because you could put this app on and just ease your mind while you're stuck in traffic, because nothing is that bad. So you're probably going like, what's so special about Simple Habit? Well, here's what's so special. There's hundreds of meditations available for free. That's incredible. Like, this is an app that teaches you how to meditate. And again, I don't know how to do that. I needed this. Like, this has actually eased my mind. Because like right now I've been in a very stressful work environment and I've needed this. I've been using it. It's incredible. And it's practical. Meditations that help with specific problems in your life. Nervous about a big meeting at work? I'm always nervous about those. Parenting issues? Always. Like, it's so stressful. I feel like I'm missing my son grow up in front of my eyes, and I need to relax about that, and that's why Simple Habit is helping me out. This app isn't just teaching you to meditate for the sake of meditating or that it is good for you. It's teaching you the right way to meditate, which is important. Therapists and life coaches bring a secular approach to mindfulness with this app, and they also have spiritual content if that's what you're looking for. It's super convenient. It has short meditations that can be consumed in 5 minutes. It's important to meditate on the go, I've always said. You don't need to sit in the lotus position with eyes closed in a completely silent room. No, you can walk in the city and do meditations. You can meditate while you're doing the dishes. You can meditate while you're watching Succession on HBO. Now, here's what I have to tell you to do. Go to simplehabit.com/2dads. That's the number 2 dads. For a 30% off premium subscription for the first 50 listeners. That's go to simplehabit.com/2dads, the number 2 dads. simplehabit.com/2dads, the number 2 dads. And if you use that link, they'll know you're from the Your Two Dads podcast. And I don't know what that means, but it probably means something good. Bye.
All right, you want to play a game?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to play Dream Dad.
Okay.
And it's if you didn't have your dad. Sure. Let's say your dad got shot out of a cannon into space, okay? It's not your fault. You didn't press the button. But you don't have a dad. What dad, starting today, would you want? It could be a cartoon. It could be a real guy. It could be...
Holy shit. This.
And
is,
why would you want him?
Yeah.
We do a different one almost every week. So right. My first one... Sean's was Tom Selleck, just because he seemed so perfect looking. He just looks like a perfect dad.
My dad has that same mustache.
Does he?
There's something familiar in that.
Yeah.
That I like a lot.
I did Huey Lewis, and Sean made fun of me, but okay. He just seems like a dude who knows how to have a good time, doesn't take life too seriously, but can write songs that the power of love. He can write it. He can write that song.
Yeah, the first thing that popped in my head was like a James Avery Uncle Phil thing.
Okay,
that feels like a lot of people feel that way. I think
was Uncle Phil a good.
He was a great dad.
Was he a great dad? Because I haven't watched that show, and so Fresh Prince, right?
Yeah, Is that what we're talking about? I mean, he was super impatient with Will, but that wasn't his kid. That was just his wife's nephew.
Looking back on it, he was a saint.
Yeah, he should have murdered that boy.
As a teenager, you watch that show, and you're like, why is he so mean? And as an adult, you're like, I can't believe he had to take kid in.
That episode where he gets Will's money back in the pool shark shit, like he was the fucking best. He hugged Will when his daddy left. He was a great guy.
Yeah.
I think the correct answer, though, probably.
Correct. There's a correct answer.
There's a correct answer, ladies and gentlemen. I've done the numbers. And for me, I think Andre 3000.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
He is all of the emotional.
He's a triple threat. He's a triple threat.
I love a man that can sing, dance, rap,
act. Oh, he's a quadruple. He's a quadruple threat.
Play clarinet at Starbucks for no reason. he's perfect. He's a great guy. He's thoughtful. He's got social anxieties.
Does he? I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's why Outkast isn't together anymore.
Oh, okay.
He like really struggles with the idea of being out in the world at this
point. I did not know that. All right.
Yeah, it's real. Well, it's not sad. It's cool.
He's fine.
But that's that vulnerability we were talking about where it's like for years he projected this idea of like this sort of like person that was completely in control of their identity.
And happy to be in the spotlight
At some point he figured out who the fuck he was, and now he has to also still be a parent and like figure out what that means to raise.
Is he reclusive now?
Yeah. Apparently, he just walks around L.A. constantly, and everybody.
Oh, he's here.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Just bump I thought he was still living in Atlanta for some reason.
I think he probably has homes there. Mm-hmm. They're pretty wealthy.
I think it's because I would live in Atlanta if I could. I love Atlanta.
Yeah, it's a great town.
It's great.
I think if I had the option, I would not live in L.A.
But, right.
You know, I think.
Well,
a lot
none
of
us would. People who are like, I just love it here, and I would live here anyway. I'm like, what is missing in your brain?
Yeah, you're a liar. Yeah. Stop it.
There is. Is you can make a decent life here, but it's and you should, but it's it's not.
Would you still stand by Huey Lewis? Would you? Is he the?
He's okay. He just seems like a guy who
I don't know anything about him, so that it's
well. He had a band called The News.
Sure, I knew that. I know the basics.
Okay, yeah. What I like about him is he's that. Sincere. He's really smart. He went to Harvard. He has one of my favorite quotes about music, which is he goes, "It takes me longer to sing my songs than it took me to write them."
Yeah.
And I like that he's an artist, but he also seems very straightforward and uncomplicated. He doesn't seem like a neurotic person.
Sure.
And I just like people that seem unbothered by overthinking and are just like doing life. And and to write a bunch of love songs that are 4 minutes long that are just like feel good.
Yeah.
I like that brain. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I feel like somebody like that knows who they are, and it's like easy for them to walk through life.
Thing.
It's like a center. Yeah, I want like a centered person.
I get that. You know who else popped in my head?
Who?
That I think Conan O'Brien.
Oh yeah,
seems like he's a good.
I don't know. I mean, the Irish
opposite of what you're describing.
The Irish runs deep in him, and I wonder. If he hits, well, no, we were talking about emotional presence.
Yeah,
and I wonder if he's good at that.
See, you know? I think that he has spent so much time self-reflecting and so much time sort of exposing that he has reached that thing that we were describing of realizing, oh, okay, I can't just make fun of my body. I also have to help you figure out what your body is
doing
and like all those things. I listen to his podcast all the time, and he seems like a little more centered.
That's good. Oh, speaking of which, I didn't even do mine yet for this week. So mine, speaking of Conan, is Stephen Colbert.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I worked for Colbert. I did warm up for that show for 2 years, The Report.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he was like a throwback that you would never believe. Like, he's just old-fashioned, like, manners, respect, funny, but not, like, boundary crossing in any way. Just, like, he's just an unreal dude. You just can't believe he's, like...
That this kind of human still exists.
That he's that funny and that, like, good. as a person. That's tight. So weird. So yeah, he would be great.
That's comforting to hear. I would be a little scared of the religion.
Okay.
There's a lot of religious stuff.
I've come around on the religion thing because, you know, like anyone who didn't grow up with religion, I was very, you know, wary of it and all that.
Yeah.
And even people that did grow up with religion are even more wary of it. I think we're all looking for the same thing, and religion fills a spot.
Yeah, I'm not, I don't think I'm as much, I'm certainly not afraid of the possibility of believing. I think, in the idea of like a higher power, but like anything that feels almost fanatical starts to make me nervous.
Yeah.
And I'm not suggesting he's a fanatic, but it is a faith beyond just like, yeah, I believe, I don't care.
It's weird to believe in the story.
Yeah.
I think it's weird to believe in the story.
Yeah.
The Christian story is
like,
weird.
No, these are just, these
they're
are fables.
It's
bedtime.
Fine. And if you're consider yourself a Christian, I don't know if you're allowed to believe in them as fables.
Sure.
Are you? I don't know. I don't know if you're allowed to be like, yes, I know this shit didn't happen.
It depends what flavor of Christian you
I guess,
are
yeah.
and how deep you are into it.
Well, I want to be a flaming hot Cheeto Christian. What's that one? That one sounds fun.
I don't think they like those very much.
This was great, man.
Yeah,
I hope you had a good time.
Me. This was great.
And I think you're going to be a good dad, but thanks. Who fucking knows? So do you have anything you want to plug? Watch Bless This Mess.
Yeah, watch Bless This Mess.
You got albums? On, you got anything like that you want to talk about?
It starts September 24th on ABC, so
great.
That'll be cool.
And that's with Dax Shepard, Lake Bell.
Yeah, Dax Shepard, Lake Bell.
Pam Grier,
Ed Begley Jr., a bunch of cool people. Mm-hmm. And then you can also check out my album. It's called Light Skin Feelings Is Funny. And check me out on Twitter and Instagram at Langston Kerman.
That's great. My album's called Lighter Skin Feelings.
And I did not like that he named it that.
All right. Thanks so much, man.
Thank you.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.